Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to True Crimes Podcasts. Today I have a special guest, Roberta Glass, and today we'll be discussing the similarities of the Amanda Knox, or the murder of Meredith Kircher case, and the West Memphis 3. Hi, Roberta. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling it the Meredith Kircher case, because I think it's really important that we say before we start this that despite what Amanda Knox's PR would like you to believe, this is really, we wouldn't know Amanda Knox's name if it weren't for the fact that she murdered Meredith Kircher, who was a beautiful, funny, bright woman. And yes. Damien Echols, we wouldn't know of him if he had not murdered Michael Moore, Chris Byers, and Stevie Branch. So I think it's important that we remember the victims.
Yes, yes. And that's the main reason that I think many of us have gotten involved. And actually, I have a small audio clip. Do you mind if I play it from Gary Meese from the Ed Opperman show? Because he also explains how he got into it. He wrote a book about West Memphis 3 titled Blood on Black. So I thought it was related to this. I think you will too. So here we go.
It's not all this information. It really, what prompted me to start writing these books was a letter that some of the parents wrote to the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences about the nomination of Paradise Lost films for Oscars. And I read those letters, and I just felt as much as I could possibly feel what those parents felt, because I can't be them. I felt something of what they feel, it's not just anger. It's this deep, continuing frustration over 20 years' time of the truth being denied, and in many cases, the truth being turned around on them, and the parents becoming the so-called suspects, and the constant suspicions and the constant lies that are thrown out. And then I turn around and I see Damien Echols on Larry King, and he's throwing out lies right and left, and Larry King just sops it all up like, oh, yeah, thank you, Damien. That's great.
So he was talking about it. I hope he doesn't mind I use a clip from that, because I felt that I totally related to that, you know, you're watching this poor victim's families being just forgotten and abused.
I read one of the letters that he's talking about from Todd Moore, and it is a really powerful piece of writing where he asked the Academy not to give the West Memphis 3 documentary and Oscar, and it's really a powerful piece of writing. He's absolutely right. And I often hear that people who are critics or non-supporters of the West Memphis 3 or Amanda Knox are guilters, and that we just want to be right. I think we certainly feel like we're right, but I don't think that's really where I think we speak out of a sense of injustice.
Yes, and the truth being denied, like you said, you know, getting the truth out there of what's going on. Yeah, yeah. So that's probably, maybe that can start off with, that's the first similarity, is that they both had documentaries made that were biased and misleading. And West Memphis had a few documentaries. They had like three, right, so far?
Yeah, and the last one produced by the twice convicted murderer himself, Damien Echols, West of Memphis.
When did that one come out? Last year?
Oh, no, that came out a couple years ago. I'm getting so old. after he was released, maybe 2012, maybe 2013. Okay. So a while ago. Yeah.
All right. What was the title of that one? I don't know if I saw that one. That's not the Paradise.
It's West
Lost
of
one,
Memphis,
though.
I believe. And Peter Jackson also produced that gave a lot of money to put that together. It's
really,
really? a slick piece of, I guess, what did someone call the, it's like a slick piece of work, you know, it really is.
Uh-huh. I'll bet.
But
I'll
the
bet.
Amanda Knox documentary, when I saw it on Netflix, I knew it was going to be, because it was from a supporter, I knew it would be from the viewpoint of Amanda Knox. But once I saw that opening shot of her feeding her cat, I was like, why do they do this in documentaries? Like, she's just like us. She feeds her wonderfully cared for cat just like us. I was like, oh, we're in so much trouble. This is going to be such a pile of lies with the cat.
Well, you know, I was wondering, I was thinking about that today too. And like, now if you're an innocent person and you've been falsely accused of murder, are you going to start off your documentary by saying, if I did it, blah, 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 but if I didn't do it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's not how someone who's innocent talks. You wouldn't be
right.
Going
for
around.
Right. Who are listening, you don't know what we're talking about. What she says is she dresses the audience and she says, I'm either a sheep, a wolf in sheep's clothing, or I'm you. And I was like, no,
yeah.
Amanda, I think you are a wolf in sheep's clothing. Yes, that's exactly what you are. Correct. Thank you for pointing that out. Maybe you shouldn't bring that up, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
But apparently she had plagiarized that from someone else, as she so often does. She gets these ideas from, like, other, you know, what she considers falsely accused people. She, like, just, you know, uses their line. But I didn't think it was very effective.
Yeah.
And I noticed there's a lot of people who looked at that documentary with an open mind and were like, this woman really gives me the creeps. Like, I'm not sure what's going on in this case, but she's really cold and a little bit scary.
Yeah, yeah. I think both of them, Eccles and her, the more you listen to them and watch them in interviews, you're like, the more creepy they come across, the more, you know.
I often wonder about Eccles as he's, the more time he's spent out of prison and he keeps getting all these occult tattoos and, you know, gets, I guess, more sort of gothy looking. When he was in prison, he had this really short hair and he was saying he was a Buddhist, and anyone who said that he practiced the occult, they would say, ha, 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 he's a werewolf too. Yeah, sure, you don't know what he's talking about. He's a Buddhist. He's not interested in the occult. You're just a victim of satanic panic, et cetera. But now that he has devoted his entire post-prison life to the occult, and it looks and it's just like transforming look-wise, I wonder if that is not as persuasive as a clean-cut Buddhist married guy in prison.
No, he's definitely into Satanism. I don't know about Amanda Knox. I know there's pictures of them together. I don't know how involved she is with, but he's definitely into Satanism. And
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that, but yeah, she continues to play the image game where she really dresses up like the girl next door and says that she really cares about other people while raking in money for herself.
Yeah, she's putting more of an effort to look like the good girl, but he's not. He's not making any effort at all. He's just out there. He's the tattoos.
No, and it said in his prison diaries, which is that I'm not going to give anything to anybody. I'm not prison. Yeah, prison diaries. I'm not going to give anything. I'm not going to give anything of myself unless I get something of equal return or more in value, which is actually a Scientology idea that's probably based on some kind of Crowley idea of equal exchange. So I'm not going to give anything away for free. You know, there's got to be something in it for me. And you can see people tweeting him, asking him for help, and him just like ignoring them. Like, I got a guy in prison. Can you help out? Not interested. Mm-hmm. And nor is Amanda Knox interested in helping anyone else. They're really about themselves. Yeah.
But that's shown, but they've both written memoirs, right? Now, Amanda Knox got
right.
$4 million for her memoir in advance. What did Eccles get? Do you know? Was that publicized?
I don't know. Mm. But it was successful enough for them to come out with a love letter book. So,
oh, yeah, I saw that.
That I believe, I thought, I think, I may be wrong, but I thought it was the same publisher, but maybe not. You know,
oh, I don't know.
But it was really promoted as just, you know, almost as heavily as his memoir.
Mm-hmm.
The love letters from him and his wife in prison.
So he has enough money to produce a documentary, and he's got two books out, and lots of, of donations, so millions of dollars, because Men in Ox has definitely made millions of dollars. I mean, as a, and she just recently got picked up by Facebook, is paying her to do a video series now. So she's just making money everywhere she goes. I mean, she's,
yeah.
So both of them have made millions of dollars since their release in 2000, and they were both released in 2011. That was like another similarity, which is interesting.
Yeah, interesting similarity.
Yeah.
And both of them take the word exoneree and just put it in front of their name without ever being exonerated. Which
yeah,
I saw you pointed
one.
Out. It's such a great piece of PR. Just start saying it, and maybe other people will pick it up.
And they argue, their trolls will argue with you. Yeah, neither of them are exonerated. In fact, Men in Ox is acquitted. And like I said, like O.J. and Casey Anthony, and she was convicted of criminal slander or calumnia.
Right.
And coincidentally,
which she's never paid the money, speaking of not doing anything for anyone else.
Yeah, so it was a very
she
small
let that
amount
guy
compared
sit
to
in
she
prison.
Made.
She accused him of murder, this her boss.
Patrick Lumumba.
Let him sit
Patrick
in prison
Lumumba.
For 2 weeks and then won't pay him the damage money. As she rakes in more than, you know, tons of money, you know, with the blood of Meredith Kircher all over her hands, just continues on.
Yep. It's unbelievable, isn't it? She gets away with it. I don't know how no one in the media, the mainstream media, has been completely biased in favor of these two from the beginning.
Did you
so
see
you
her
hear...
her hand-holding that Amanda Knox got, too? This
yes,
is a similarity.
Good morning,
Robin
America.
Roberts holding her hand and tilting her head. You know, and Damien Echols on Morgan, what's his last name? Help me. Morgan.
Oh, Piers Morgan?
You know what I'm talking
about? No.
Yeah, Piers Morgan. Saying, well, you look like a really nice guy. You don't look like a creepy occultist. Well, and then they cut to Damien Echols, who looks like a gaunt, creepy occultist. You don't look like someone who would murder three kids, looking like exactly like someone who would murder three kids, you know?
Exactly. Oh, my God. Ay, ay, ay.
It makes you feel like an alien looking at this kind of PR work. You're like, am I human? Like, what world am I living in, you know?
Really? It's true. It's true. It's so obvious, and yet it continues on. Like, they think they're fooling anyone. All right. So, anyways, so the documentaries, millions of dollars, not exonerated. What else do we have? You know what? Another interesting thing. Oh, here we go. Attacking the victims' families. Both of them, now more so with the West Memphis 3, Damien Echols, trying to turn the blame onto the victim's family. They tried to blame two of the fathers of two of the victims, right?
Yeah, and he says he's almost 100% sure each time. First time when he
Damien
accused
Echols?
John Mark Byers, and the second time when he accused Hobbs, he's on film saying he's almost up, and Baldwin too, his co-defendant, saying that, or co-convicted really, that he's almost entirely sure that they're guilty, both of them. And he also, Echols also gave the finger to the victim's family in court, and that has been used as sort of a picture of rebellion or coolness among young people. That drives me crazy too. Echols giving the finger to grieving parents. Oh, isn't that edgy and great?
Oh my God.
And
yeah.
Amanda Knox has said she wants to meet with the Kircher family. She wants to visit the grave of Meredith Kircher, and the family's asked her not to. And she persists saying, you know, talking about Meredith Kircher after, you know, against their wishes, and it's been really insensitive. But that kind of insensitivity is a kind of sadism that see when you're accusing people of falsely accusing people of murder and accusing grieving parents of murder. And so it's very similar kind of cruelty.
Yes, it's common apparently with murderers. They like to harass the victim's family. They get some kind of pleasure in that.
Well, didn't her Raphael Celestito, her
yeah
yeah I he don't know what to call him. He was convicted. Her cohort in murder. Didn't he visit Meredith's grave?
Yes. He was taken there by one of their supporters there in the UK. And he was, without the family's knowledge or permission, he went to her grave, yeah.
Awful.
They are. They really
awful,
are. And he bragged about it afterwards, yeah. Yeah.
And both of them are
doubt
sex
she
symbols,
had a
too. Did you notice that? Amanda Knox, murderer sex symbols. Young girls seem to think Damien Echols is dreamy. It makes my stomach turn. And Amanda Knox, too, is kind of like a... People
well,
always
about
talk
sex,
about her looks and how hot she is and stuff like that.
Now, I think most people that admire her. I think there's a certain segment of the population that admires the fact that she's gotten away with murder, and they think that it's cool. She's so smart. She's so clever. She's such a she's spoken at schools and universities. She spoke at a high school, and I remember a high school student tweeting a picture with her saying, "Oh, Amanda Knox is so badass." in the picture. So they just think it's cool that she's gotten away with it, I think, you know.
You don't think she's like a... I see her sexuality being discussed all the time. Her looks, her body, her eyes, her, you know. You don't see that so much. You think it's more of a...
With her followers, maybe. Followers are... I think they may be saying that she has ice cold eyes or something like that.
She said she was getting all these proposals in jail. Do you remember that in her diary?
If any female killer gets certain followers, you know, I think. I think many of her followers, they call them white knights, you know, the men, some, a lot of the men who follow her, that, you know, her supporters, you know, who find it appealing, like hebristophilia. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's usually a woman's condition. But yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I think men have it too, though.
But you may be right. It may be able to be applied to men too, hebristophilia.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. Yeah. Okay. How about the false confessions that weren't false confessions?
Yeah, this is a great point. Both use the idea of misuse the term false confession in terms of their case. So Amanda Knox did not falsely confess. She falsely accused her boss of murder, an innocent person of murder. That's not a false confession under any definition. And with Jesse Miss Kelly in the West Memphis 3, he confessed multiple times after conviction. There's no criteria for multiple false confessions.
Yes.
You
go
to any sort of innocence project and say, I have someone who confessed multiple times, and then we'll say, oh, that's a typical false confession situation. It's unheard of. Categorize that as a false confession if you keep confessing over and over in different uncoerced environments with your, especially with the one where Jesse Miss Kelly confessed with his lawyer begging him not to. If anything, that's a false confession in reverse.
Ugh,
he's being
absolutely
coerced the other way, not to confess. So I just think it's ridiculous.
And also another similarity, too, is not only that, but their followers, their supporters will say later, oh, they were interrogated for hours and hours, and Amanda Knox is going around telling people that she was interrogated for 53 hours. And I heard with the Miss Kelly, they're trying to say it was 12 hours of interrogation, but it's all a lie. It's absolutely not true at all. Amanda Knox blamed Patrick in less than an hour.
And she wasn't even supposed to be there. She was just supporting her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is really funny about her false confession is that it started out with them getting her tea and snacks. You so often hear of that with brutal confessions, that they start with with cookies and tea. What are we talking about here? Before I torture you, you hungry? I just want to make sure I torture you on a full stomach.
Unbelievable. And they get away with turning and their followers, and they just lie and lie, the great lie theory or the big lie theory. They just keep lying and lying about it. Ugh. So that's another favorite lie on both sides.
Oh. And no one has, and they don't have any, neither group has a good argument as to why Amanda Knox falsely accused her boss. When they try to make up that argument that, well, it was suggested to her, it really doesn't hold water. And the secondly, the West Memphis 3 supporters just don't have any reasoning why Jesse Ms. Kelly would confess so many times under so many in so many uncoerced environments. They just say he's stupid, like a child. But what child keeps telling the same story over and over and over again against
their
own
he was saying.
Self-interest?
I mean, he wasn't retarded. He was, yeah, I mean, he wasn't you know, mentally challenged. He was, but he knew what he was saying.
He was
the only one with a conscience.
They call it.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, and you never see him. And, you know, the point has been made, this is not my, that really the West Memphis 3 case has never been about the West Memphis 3. It's always been about Damien Echols, you know, and what it was a relentless drive to free him. One, because it was he was the only one on death row. Two, he was very charismatic. So sometimes you'll see Baldwin, but very rarely will you see Ms. Kelly because he's the snitch and there's bad blood, I believe, between them. You know, for him, he confessing so many times.
And the same thing with Amanda Knox. So she's one of three people murdered Meredith Kircher, but she's the one that gets all the attention. And this bothered her co-conspirator there, Raphael Fletchto. He was like, it's all about Amanda, you know. Yeah, they come, yeah. So there's been some resentment with that, yeah.
Yeah, and there's even a little bit of a similarity in the knives that are used in this case by the co-defendants. Like Raphael Fletchto had a knife with the DNA of Meredith Kircher on the tip and Amanda Knox's DNA on the handle. And he said in a prison diary, well, I pricked her cooking one time and that's how it got there.
Yeah, and I pricked her by accident. I said, sorry. And she said, okay.
And supporters don't have any reason except he went crazy in jail and wrote that. That's their excuse. Seriously.
No.
Baldwin has changing stories for whether he owned that knife, how it got in the lake in the behind his house, and, you know, whether it was, you know, that there's, the knife story changes all the time, too. So those are also a similarity.
That and they collected knives. Raphael Fletchto had a collection of knives, and so did Echols and Baldwin, right?
Yes, and but also both of them had very strange, creepy, I mean, Damien Echols, this is after prison, had creepy online posts where, you know, he'd put up a really creepy painting of some dismembered person and say it's breathtaking, and Amanda Knox put up a picture of herself behind a kind of machine gun type thing, saying the Nazis, titled it The Nazi Within. So
yeah, that was
creepy online social media presence.
Yeah, and she made up her own, the Foxy Noxy name that she had was on her MySpace account. It was her nickname that she had for herself.
Yeah, but you know that was just about soccer, and how dare you slut shame her? That's the argument by her supporters, right? How dare you? How dare you slut shame?
Okay, so she claims to have been slut shamed by the Italians. So and Echols claims that he was satanic panicked by his town. So is that they both have this, oh, we're being mistreated and treated like outsiders theme going on.
When they asked Damien Echols who they thought did the crime, he said Satanists. And Amanda Knox gave herself that own thing and was sleeping around like with a person she just met on a train. So she even admits herself she was sexually free. And then when people accurately identify her behavior as, you know, sexually, you know, I don't know,
indiscriminate. Well, she said in her memoir, she was on a campaign.
I don't know how
she
that's says, the kind she, way to put it.
She
then,
put it in
then,
her memoir, she was on a campaign of casual sex.
Yeah. 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 Yep. But, then you're, so it's like, and then Echols wrote a piece saying, I was persecuted for my love and knowledge of Crowley.
Which he denied when he was
so
on trial.
So which is it? Which he denied on the stand, which he now admits to perjury. So which is it? Like, they have to have it every which way. And that's the thing for anybody who's just, like, starting to follow true crime. a good rule of thumb is when there's so many inconsistencies, you know what I mean, in a case from one side, you have to think mm-hmm. that side is lying.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it both ways. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. That's actually another thing. There are inconsistent alibis.
That's another great point. Can we talk about Amanda?
Yeah.
They were both spotted at the night of the crime.
Yes, yes.
Amanda Knox was spotted by Antonio Carrillo. Do you know how to pronounce his last name? Caratolo. It was a heroin addict who was homeless heroin addict. And it was so funny because they said, oh, he was out of his mind on drugs. And the man himself was like, look, heroin's not a hallucinogenic drug. I think I was in my right mind. I know what I saw. I saw you on the basketball courts the night of the crime. And he was deemed a credible witness.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hollingsworth family saw Damien Echols and what they identified as Dominique Teer, his girlfriend, walking away covered in mud from the scene of the crime. And her alibi was that she was in bed that night with her mom. So you wonder if she was, I wonder if she was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At some time, some point, maybe after.
So they were both seen at the night of the murder. Yeah, they were both seen by witnesses at the night of the murder. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. What else?
Well, can I talk about the dogs, too?
Go ahead. What about the dogs?
Good point about their dogs.
No, go ahead. What? Forget
Damien Echols, and this is like, to me, this is the perfect representative of how they use image. Both of them went to adopt a dog from a rescue shelter. So Damien Echols adopted this dog, Pumpkin. Amanda Knox, I don't know. I'll just call her Amanda Knox's dog. Don't know.
Zena.
What's Amanda
Zena.
Knox's dog's name? What
Zena.
Was
Zena.
Zena. Zena.
Zena, yeah.
So she adopted Zena. They took the dog home, and they had to return, Amanda Knox returned Zena with cut up paws. And Pumpkin was returned, and the reason given was that Echols was too worried about the dog. But I think that the dog was being used to convince other people that they were really good people, that they would adopt a rescue dog. But when it came to caring for something else, they, A, possibly abused the dog, and B, had to return it. And what rescue organization is adopting out dogs to murderers? I have two rescue cats, and I can't tell you what I went through. Home check, vet check, two references.
Well, they're really
tough
in New York.
You know?
Yeah. I know. So I've been there,
But So, you know, it just fits the image game that they all play, that they're really good people. I'll do this. This is what good people do. But they can't really live up to, they can't perform the behaviors.
Well, I was horrified, but when I read about the story of him killing the Great Dane, I mean, he's really sadistic with animals, as it seems.
Yeah, also, very few people talk about that he used, one girl said that he killed cats with bottle rockets, by putting bottle rockets inside them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God,
so
yeah.
He would also kill frogs.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a picture of one of his cats in a pot on top of the stove. And if you love your animal, even if your cat climbs in and it's cute, it's such a distressing thought that you wouldn't take I wouldn't take a picture of my cat like that. But he thought it was funny and tweeted it out. It's just the idea of something bad happening to him, so awful. It takes away any cuteness of them jumping in something small, you know?
Right. Oh, well, you know what? We only have like a minute or two left. There's so much we haven't talked about. I want to talk about we haven't even touched on the trolls, but I guess we'll do that some. We could do it some other time.
We're going to have to do a part two, clearly.
Yes.
I have about what? I have. I think there's so many more, right?
Yes, yes. Let's do a part two. I'd love to talk again and continue this. But thank you. It's been great having you on. And so is there any of the. Oh, you know, one last thing I'll add is the Guardian News and the New York Times both were very supportive of both of them. Came out with articles, you know, early on, portraying them, Knox and Eccles, as, you know, wrongly convicted and all this, and what good people they really are, et cetera. So I just thought that was interesting similarity as well.
Absolutely. The press almost uniformly won't ask any, or the media won't ask them any tough questions. The only one was Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, who asked Amanda Knox some tough questions, but that's about it.
But not even that many, just like a couple, like not even as it should be done, really, with this case.
Yeah.
She's never been thoroughly questioned. She's never answered the real
question. How dare
ones.
We even think of questioning her, Liz?
I'm telling you, they're too above. They go from prison to being way above everyone else, it seems. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, okay. Any last word, any closing words for this show, or just leave it at that?
No. This has just been a pleasure. And you can find me at Roberta Glass, all one word, at YouTube.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I should have said that. And I have a link underneath in the description linking to your YouTube account. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And until next time, take care.
Again. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, where's the goal? Can you like the guidance you use? Oh, shit. I bet it's a minute before I can hear you. My goal is to hear you confess.